So we've been looking at Psalms over the last few weeks. And tonight, we are continuing that with a psalm, that really well-known Psalm 23. Perhaps one of the most famous and well-known of all the Psalms. It's been used in songs, in funerals. It has inspired artists and writers throughout the history. The title that was given for tonight's passage is Lacking Nothing. And that's what we will be exploring tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Book of Psalms is, in the Old Testament, is, has 150 different psalms contained within it. And just under half of them are credited to David. And Psalm 23 is one of them. And David is a well-known figure from the Old Testament. A shepherd who was anointed by the prophet Samuel and became a king of Israel. He had a very eventful life, filled with the highest of highs, beating Goliath, being a king of Israel, and the lowest of lows. Death threats, committed adultery, some of his children died. And in the Psalms, we find that life and David's walk with the Lord reflecting throughout these words, their words. And as we take our journey as followers of Jesus, as Christians, the Psalms can speak into our own walk and experiences too, as we've been seeing in the last few weeks, as been looking at the words of the Psalms. The opening line, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in ancient Israel culture, the job of a shepherd was not necessarily considered the kind of career that you'd really go for. It was actually often considered quite a lowly thing to do. It was usually given to the youngest son. And indeed, we see this when we first meet David in 1 Samuel 16. He's out tending the sheep as he was the youngest son of Jesse. But in ancient Near East, the title shepherd was also used for leaders illustrating their relation to the people that was under their charge, in their charge. They were called to lead and protect. The Lord as shepherd is also associated with his leading and protection of the Israelites in the wilderness and returning from exile. So shepherd is a servant, protector, and provider all at once. And when David is talking about the Lord being his shepherd, he has a real grasp of what this role entails because he himself had been a shepherd. He understood that the role of a shepherd was a work that never stopped, whatever the circumstances or condition the sheep were in. It was hard craft. A shepherd lived with his flock and was tasked with finding nourishment, giving protection and guidance to his flock, consistently and constantly as they roam from place to place, simply because if he didn't, the sheep would become malnourished or die or be in danger for their lives. So when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's speaking from experience and creating this image of God who protects, who nourishes, who guides. God is not a reluctant shepherd. He will not give up tending and caring for his people. He does not give up on us. He genuinely likes being with us and caring for us. And I think sometimes we need to hear that perhaps again. And partly why David can go on to say, in the rest of the verse, "I lack nothing." It's not a question or wondering. It's a simple statement. Because of who God chooses to be for his people, a shepherd. He chooses to be our shepherd, therefore we lack nothing. But what can that mean to us when we are faced with troubled times? Or when we are facing uncertain futures, much like we are at the moment? We're going to be exploring three short ideas that we believe touches in what could it look like to lack nothing with God in those times. We'll be looking at restoration, renewal, and reviving. So first, looking at this idea of lacking nothing through restoration. We all have big things that happen in life. Excuse me. Times when it feels like nothing can ever be the same again. There might be a job loss, bereavement, an illness. We can't prepare for all those moments, how we truly, what they truly feel like. And they can be filled with really raw, real feelings and emotions. It's hard, and we can feel bruised, beat up, and broken by life. When we think of lacking nothing, does that mean that we are never going to feel tired or weary or scared in life? That as Christians, somehow, these moments won't affect us? I don't believe that's what the psalm is saying. Part of the power of this psalm is that it touches us where we live and hurt and struggle. It doesn't shy away from the reality of living and the pain that we might be feeling, but instead it gives that pain back to God to restore us in those moments and trusting that God will provide healing and restoration for those times. He is with us in all those times. One of the really powerful phrases in this psalm is the start of verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with us, with me. Even though we walk through the trials and tribulations of life, God is with us. I'm reminded actually of the sign in the front of the church that says, we are still here. God is still here. Even when it looks like things have closed up and everything is going to pot and there's pandemic to deal with, he never leaves us. He's still here, a shepherd calling us and restoring his flock, person by person. He knows what we need. The Bible tells us that God even counts the hair of our heads. He can pick you up when you fall. He lifts us up when the load is heavy. And as it is, it says in the verse 3, he restores our soul. He's there for us. Which leads us to the next idea of what it means to lack nothing, and that is renewal, restoration and renewal. In verse 5 of Psalm, it says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And I think one of the key things to remember about this verse is that scholars believe that Psalm 23 was written later on in David's life, after he had become king, after his adultery with Bathsheba, and after losing a child. David can look back on his life so far with all its highs and its lows and say that God is God of abundant provision. God isn't just God who provides the bare minimum. The verse here speaks of God's want to bless us as his children. It's not my cup is half full or has a little in it. It's overflowing. He wants to renew our hearts until we overflow with his abundance. The imagery of the verse reflects this idea that seems like a very easy to write or say, but I do wonder what it would look like to practically for us as individuals and as a church to see that abundance, to be renewed in the knowledge of God's abundance and blessings despite how things appear. Might it look like the new pay-as-you-can scheme in Cornerstone, like blessing our neighbours in different ways, sharing prayer or our faith with our friends, with our family, the abundance that we know that we have in the Lord. And when we start to think about what kind of abundant renewal might look like in practice, it can seem a bit scary. The verse says the table is prepared in the presence, not absence of enemies. And that's, I think, is quite a challenge. Even in the midst of danger and challenge, there God is with us. But it's also a very powerful image of God's protection and provision. Riding the challenge, there he is with us. So following the shepherd is not always easy, but there's encouragement in that journey. And we're just going to hear now an encouragement from Kerry that she has recorded for us.
So I remember several years ago that I was on a lunch break. I was working at CAB, the Citizens Advice Bureau, in Sheffield at the time. And I decided I wanted to use this lunch break as just a prayer time, a journal time with God. And I was really looking forward to it, actually, just to do a bit of journaling. And about 10 minutes in, I felt God say that I needed to just offer the person behind me whether they wanted any prayer. But being very British, I did the only reasonable option and ignored that request because you just don't interrupt people like that at a table. And I continued doing what I was doing. But as I continued writing and just praying, it really struck me that God's love was and is so much more than just me. I needed this cup, to let this cup that I had overflow. And so I walk up to the table behind me, and I'll just start with something probably fairly nervously. I'm saying, yeah, I know it sounds weird, but I'm a Christian, and would you like prayer for anything? I really feel like God would say that you would like prayer for something. And her reaction is immediate, and immediately she just bursts into tears because her dad was in hospital and she'd just come from visiting him, and it was a really tough time. And she, in that moment, just really needed to know that God loved her and that he was with her. So we pray together and have a conversation, and about 10 minutes later, I leave. And you know, I will never know how that conversation impacted her. You know, I never saw that lady again. Sorry, excuse me. But in that normal, everyday moment, I saw the impact of choosing to share God's abundance and blessing with those around us. You know, we do that because God has poured so much into us that we overflow. We are restored, we are renewed, and we can, by God's abundant blessing, help renew and restore others too.
Such an encouragement. And I'm just thinking, you know, it can be quite a scary thing, as Kerry shared, this can be quite a scary thing to do. But I often think that I guess the worst thing can happen is that people say no, if we have that prompting in us. We're not forcing prayer, we're not forcing what we offer, we're offering it. And that can be received or turned down. But what a difference it made for that lady to offering that, what we have in the Lord. And from that, we move on to the third idea of reviving. When we talk about reviving in this context, I don't mean revival as you would perhaps often talk in a church or Christian sense, but talking about reviving in a sense of God breathing life into the things around us. And at the moment, it feels like people, churches, communities are being tested to our limits, and I think we are. I think there's that expression that we are not in a sprint, we are in a marathon with the pandemic, and I think we are all sort of feeling the toll of that in us. There's so much uncertainty and change, so much to feel worried and anxious about, and it can feel overwhelming. But as we circle back to the first verse of this psalm, is the whole promise of comfort and peace is built on God's presence in our lives as a shepherd. Because God knows us. He knows when we struggle. He knows when we need to rest. And when we need to be nudged in the right direction, as we saw in Kerry's beautiful story. He guides us for his name's sake. But in order to do that, we need to listen to him. We need to spend time with a shepherd and learn to recognize his voice. If we look at those words again in verse 1, David uses the present tense to describe God. It's not the Lord was my shepherd, or the Lord will be, although those are true too. The Lord is my shepherd. When we see, what we see is a reflection of David's present relationship and reality in spending time with God and recognizing his leading in his life. And it's through that present relationship of that the following verses in this psalm, in this psalm then flow. In John 10, Jesus described himself as a good shepherd, as the gate to safety with God, into God's salvation, which we have through Jesus. And Jesus says his sheep will listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name and leads them. As the shepherd, he goes before them, before us, and we follow him because we recognize and we know his voice. And tonight you might feel like God is far off at the moment, that there might just be too much going on, that the idea of God breathing new life into your situation and your relationship with him actually feels like a burden. It feels heavy. Just another thing to be on your plate and mind at the moment. And if that is you, just like really want to encourage you that God is still here. And he loves us so much, more than we can ever put to words. And that can never be taken away from us. And one of the reasons, again, why the Psalms resonate so much with people is because it gets to the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We may feel burdened and heavy, and sometimes just downright exhausted with life. But nothing, nothing can take away the reality that God is our shepherd. And just as shepherd would give his life for his flock, Jesus has given his life for us so that we can have the ultimate restoration, the renewal of salvation through following him. He's providing us all that we need. In that sense, this psalm is speaking to us individually into our needs, but also collectively affirming God's promise and work of his salvation, which we are invited to respond to by turning to Jesus as our good shepherd, as our savior, trusting his leading, his provision and his protection. Life in all its fullness in Christ alone. So as we reflect back into these words, in a way of responding, we're going to listen to a video of a quite well-known song, which takes some of the inspiration from this Psalm 23. And you might want to take time just to reflect on what is God saying to us, to you in this moment. Perhaps you are needing to feel restored or revived in God, or perhaps you are being challenged to let your cup overflow and help renew others. And however that might be, let's spend some time during this video to invite God to speak into our situation. And I think before we do that, let me just read these words again. There might just be a verse just a word or a verse that is particularly for you to hear tonight. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.